There are vast numbers of people today who have a totally wrong concept of Christianity. They believe that Christianity is comprised of just a set of principles. And if they can somehow adopt and apply those principles in their life, they will be Christian. And this is a very common view in the world today. But I must confess that it really grieves my soul and spirit when I see this very same attitude in the Church of Jesus Christ today. I have heard many believers on frequent occasions say, if I could only just adopt those principles that I find in the Scriptures, I could live a better Christian life. And there are other clues that evidence that this fallacy has crept into the belief of the Church of Jesus Christ today. We find that there is a sad lack of spiritual life and of real true holiness in the Church of Jesus Christ today. There is little saintly behavior. We call ourselves saints because that's how the Scriptures describe us. But all too often the pattern of our life falls far short of saintly behavior. And there are a number of causes for this condition in the church today. There is a misunderstanding of what it means to be a Christian. There's a misapplication of the truths of Scripture and how they work and fit in our lives. And sadly, in some instances even, there is a flat denial and rejection of the Scriptures and the truths that they represent and teach. And there are serious consequences as a result in the church today. For you see, we find in the church that there is a deification of man to a position that he does not deserve. We find in the church today a concentration, a centering upon the satisfaction of mankind's needs. And in the process, we are denying the glory to God that He rightly deserves. And we have grieved the Holy Spirit of God, and we have quenched His work in ministry in our lives as individuals and in the Church of Jesus Christ collectively. We have quenched His work. We no longer sense His supernatural authority and ability in our meetings and in our lives. We find that we lack the glorious presence of God among us. Yes, my friend, the church today faces a crossroads. We desperately need spiritual revival. And if we are ever to again experience that glorious presence of God among us that is our right and privilege, we must have some changes. We must go back to the Scriptures. We must study them and understand the truths of God's Word, and we must apply them in our lives. We must confess our sin and turn from our wicked ways, as the Scriptures say. We must turn in repentance from our sin to walk in obedience and faith to God's Word. And when we do, we will begin to experience that glorious outpouring of God upon us in spiritual transforming power, not only in the changing of the lives of unbelievers, but in the renewing of the lives of those who name the name of Jesus. The Scriptures talk a great deal about the doctrines of salvation. We do not have the time today to examine all of those truths. I want us to look at one of them today, though, that is recorded for us in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 17. I'll read this verse and then we'll study it and see what truths are here for us today to apply in our lives. Here's what it says. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. I want us to examine this today and see the truths that the Scriptures give for us here that talk about the transformation that the Holy Spirit of God brings into the life of a sinner. And I want us to see the change that he brings and how he transforms us from an enemy to a child of God. The first truth I want us to see here in this passage is this. I want us to see the original nature of mankind. Notice that the reference is made that before Christ, there are old things, because those old things pass away. So there is very obviously then old things that are present when a person comes to faith in Jesus Christ. Well, what does it mean when it says old things? Well, the scriptures give us a very clear and vivid description of the original depraved condition of mankind, the old things that pass away. For example, the Lord Jesus gave it in this fashion. He says that it is what comes out of the heart that defiles a man. And he describes the heart as being wicked and deceitful and murderous. And in the heart are evil thoughts. And then out of the heart comes robbery and all kinds of sexual immorality and lying and deceit. That's the natural heart. That's the natural condition of my heart. And that's the natural condition of your heart. The scriptures also describe for us in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, in describing a sinner before coming to faith in Jesus Christ. And it describes this person in this fashion, and I'd like to read it for you because it's a very vivid, clear description. We find it in Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse number 1. Now he's talking here about those who have come to faith in Christ, and then he says, here's what you were before you came to faith in Jesus Christ. Here's the description, and you hath he quickened, or made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also ye had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh, and of our mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. And if we move on in the book of Ephesians to chapter 4, we find a further description that Paul gives of the old things that need to pass away. Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse number 17, it says, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through ignorance, because of the blindness of their heart, who being in past feeling have given themselves unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness, that ye put off the old conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. Not a very pretty picture, is it? And you see, that's what this verse is talking about, what it says that the old things are passed away. So, but before we can really understand what transformation the Spirit of God brings into the life of a sinner, we must first of all understand our condition without the work of the Spirit of God. And here we see that it's called old things. And I've just read some very vivid descriptions from Scripture that describe your condition without Christ, that describe my condition without Christ, the condition of every man and woman without Christ. Not a very pretty picture, is it? But the Scriptures tell us that's how we are. Incapable of any good, intrinsically evil, helpless, in need of supernatural help. That's the first truth. The original nature, the original condition of man before Christ. I want you to notice the second truth here. It says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. There's a change that takes place. There's a transformation that occurs in the life of a sinner who believes in Jesus Christ. It's described here as a new creature. Now, there are other references to this same concept, this same transformation that occurs in the life of a sinner. And it's described in these terms. It's called the new birth. Or it's called, as Jesus used the term, you must be born again. There must be a new life transformation in the life of a sinner because the old life is incapable of anything good. It is incapable of believing, of trusting God. It is incapable of following and obeying and believing the truths of God's Word. There must be a new birth. Now, as we stop and think about birth, birth is quite a miracle, isn't it? And there's an interesting thing about birth, and it's this, that every person who has been born had no choice in being born. They were the product of someone else's action and behavior. Their birth was a result. And yet there are many people today, as we look at this concept or this truth of salvation, who somehow believe that I must do something to have the new birth, when in all of life, it never works that way. Birth is always a result of what someone else does. And it's true in the spiritual realm as well, my friend. The spiritual birth that happens in the life of a sinner does not result as the consequence of the actions of the sinner. It instead is the work of someone else. It is the work of the Holy Spirit of God, acting in the life of the sinner to give them new life, to give them the new birth. Now I want us to see a couple of references that give us confirming evidence and truth to what I have just said. If we look, for example, in the book of 1 Peter, we can find that Peter wrote about this topic of the new birth. And he, in a couple of verses, makes reference to this very fact, that it is a new birth and it is something that happens to you, not something that you do on your own. We find in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3, it says this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again." You see, it's the work of God. It's God's work to begot, if you will, someone else, to give new birth, who according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, if we drop down just a little bit further in this same chapter, we come to verse number 23, where it's talking still about this new birth. And he says this, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." Time does not permit me to give to you all of the references in Scripture that talk about the new birth, and that describe and explain the source of that new birth as coming from God Himself by the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit in the life of a sinner. We've looked at a couple of them here that give confirming proof that the change that begins, the new creature that is formed within the body and life of a sinner is supernatural in origin. It's supernatural in cause, and it's supernatural in result. Mankind is passive. God is active. He works in the heart and life of an unbeliever to bring them new life. That's the eternal life that scriptures talk about. Eternal life isn't just someday in the sweet by and by when we die. Oh, we would enjoy it then as well. But you see, eternal life is more a quality of life than it is a location of life. And the quality of life is a life from someone else that is eternal. That's God Himself. So we see here in our scriptures a second truth, that if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creature. There is some spiritual transformation that occurs in the life of a sinner that changes them from an enemy of God to a child of God. That work is the work of the Holy Spirit of God, giving to them a new heart, giving to them a change of nature. Has that happened to you, my friend? Have you ever experienced a spiritual transformation in your life to where you knew that God Himself, by the Holy Spirit, had taken up residence in your life? You can experience that today, my friend, by simple trust and faith in Jesus Christ. And the Spirit of God is the one who enables you to trust. He gives to you the very faith to believe the truth of God's Word and enables you to cast your confidence on Jesus Christ alone. Well, that's the second truth. I want us now quickly to look at the third truth, and that's this. Old things passed away, all things become new. There is not only a new creature, a new nature within the heart and life of the sinner, but there is a new creation. There is a new result. There is a new consequence as a result of the Spirit of God at work in the life of a believer. Notice it says, first of all, old things pass away. The things that you once do no longer appeal to you. The sins that you used to commit so freely and joyfully now look abhorrent to you. Old things pass away. They no longer have the hold and grasp upon your heart and upon your desires that they once had. They pass away. Now notice that in addition to that, that would be good enough, would it not? If the old things passed away, but there is also all things become new. The old passes away, and there is new to take its place. Now, how does that happen? How does that transpire? Well, it is the work of the Spirit of God, who first of all changes our understanding so that we can understand the difference between what is good and what is evil, between what is right and what is wrong. We now have the wisdom to see the difference. Prior to the work of the Spirit of God in our life, we could tell no difference. But now that the Spirit of God has begun to work in our heart and life and has given us a new nature, we now see things differently. We see the sinful things as they really are, sinful. And we see the good things of God as they really are, good and right and holy. There is also a change that occurs in our will. We have a new will. We no longer want to do the old, but instead we actually want to do the new. And this transformation, my friend, comes by the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. He has given us a new nature. He has changed us. Old things pass away. All things become new. I want you to notice real quickly a reference from the Old Testament that describes this very transformation. Lest you think I have made it up somehow in a night of wild excesses, eating too much pizza or rich foods. Turn, if you will, if you have a Bible, to the book of Ezekiel. And I'll read for you the passage there from Ezekiel chapter 36. And we'll read verse number 26 and 27. Well, let's start with verse 25, and we'll read those three verses because they all tie together. It says, "Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all of your idols, and I will cleanse you at the passing away of the old." That's the transformation of the new life being placed in the life of a sinner. And then he goes on and says, "And a new heart also will I give you." Now, we're not talking about a physical heart transplant here. We're talking about that spiritual nature, that spiritual driving force within the heart and life of every man. "A new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I give you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep them, and ye shall do them." Yes, my friend, that describes this very transformation that I've been reading for you from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It talks about the change. The old things pass away. All things become new. I want to ask you a question today. What does the Spirit of God want these truths to accomplish in your heart and life today? The first thing He does, and the first thing He wants to do, is He wants to clarify for you the truth. He wants you to understand the truth of God's Word concerning this new birth, concerning this transformation from the old to the new, that it is a work of the Holy Spirit of God, sovereignly, spiritually, actually, in the life of a sinner. He is the one who makes the change. He gives to us the faith to believe, changes our will, opens our eyes to see the difference between that which is evil and that which is good. And He wants you to know the truth, God's truth. The second thing that the Spirit of God wants to do with these truths is to convict you of sin. Where in your life today has the Holy Spirit of God shown you and identified areas where you have failed to apply these truths in your own life? Perhaps you have believed, like I indicated at the beginning of the program, that all you needed to do was just follow Christian principles and you would be a Christian. Maybe you believed that all you needed to do was just work real hard at it. Maybe you believed that as a believer in Jesus Christ that you somehow had your part to play and God had His part to play. Where has the Spirit of God identified error in your life? A failure to believe the truth. A failure to honor and glorify God rightly for what He alone can do and does. There's a third thing that the Spirit of God wants to do with these truths. He wants to convince you of your true condition before God. What has the Spirit of God shown you about your condition today? Has He shown you to be guilty or innocent? Has He shown you to be in need of reproof, or has He approved your faith and your obedience? Has the Spirit of God shown you to be a believer in Jesus Christ today, but yet one who has failed to honor and glorify God for His work and for His work alone? Perhaps today in your life, the Spirit of God has shown you that these truths have no application in your life whatsoever. You have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Well, the Spirit of God wants you to know your true condition today before God, that forth He might correct you, that He might change you, that He might bring you to recognize your sin of failing to honor and glorify God, that He might bring to you the knowledge of your sin, that He might bring you to faith in Jesus Christ today. My prayer for you today, my friend, is that the Spirit of God will work that spiritual transformation that we saw in the Scriptures in your life today. That He will renew you. That He will bring to your life today the new birth. That He might plant within you that new nature that will change you from the old to the new.